Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It would have been quite the scene to behold, wouldn't it? John the Baptist, a scene to behold unto himself, in his camel's hair, clothing, his wild hair, the little baggie of bug and honey snacks, tucked in his belt. All the people from the Judean countryside, all the poor, more rural folks just scraping by, all the city folks coming from Jerusalem, all of them gathered at the river waiting for baptism, for something to happen. Some bit of comfort, some bit of prophecy, some hope, or whatever it was that was drawing them out into that wilderness. And Jesus, likely perhaps being part of that ordinary crowd that just is gathered there, that comes there, very unassuming at first, and then, you wonder, at what point does John recognize him? It's not one of those details that's not really in our gospel reading, this moment of when John sees Jesus. But of course, we heard, I think, during the Christmas time, we heard, the story of John in the womb jumped when he saw Jesus, so you kind of imagine once freed from the womb, John probably was even more ecstatic when he saw Jesus, this person that he's been waiting for, that he's been helping prepare the way of the Lord for. Hopefully Jesus didn't have to sort of whisper in his ear like, yeah, that's me. You don't need to. And then, of course, the scene itself of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. I mean, it'd be amazing to actually just do a baptism in a river by itself, or even, down at Lake Mille Lacs, maybe not this time of year, but in the summer, if anyone knows anyone that needs to get baptized, we could try that out. But then this incredible scene, the heavens open up. Jesus, there's this voice and this proclamation. You kind of imagine glowing lights and, sometimes there's the description of a dove. It would have been quite something to see. Though, of course, we're not entirely sure if it was seen by anyone other than Jesus. I think in John's gospel there's a note that says that John saw it, but it's not always clear. Did other people gathered nearby see this? Was it just sort of they sensed something was strange? Knowing exactly what is going on, it's not really clear from our gospels. And yet you imagine there would have been this crowd of witnesses that would have been gathered around and that something would have been noticed. And certainly Jesus must have told someone, even if the scene wasn't completely obvious. And of course, that's part of a theme that goes on in Mark's gospel, as we'll discover throughout this year, that people do see something, but figuring it all out, they struggle with it. Even the disciples, even the people, the men and the women that are closest to Jesus, they don't quite understand all that's going on. It's a big theme in Mark. And when they do, Jesus tells them to be quiet. So it's this idea of that we are these witnesses, but we aren't sure what exactly we're witnessing, as one will hear more and more as we go throughout the year. But it does put the focus again on Jesus. That is one of the great aspects of not knowing everybody else's reactions. Remember, Mark is very much the streamlined person, and so we are focused on Jesus, on who this person is. And of course, biblical scholars always do remind us and are always pointed out, which is always a bit of a bummer, that Jesus' baptism is something unique unto itself. You know, and as a preacher, I want to be like, okay, let's tell all the cute baptism stories I've ever heard in my entire life, you know. But we want that focus, of course, to be on Jesus, on this day that is his, that is this moment of revelation, right? That's what Epiphany is all about. It's about some discovery of this person, of this Son of God that has come into the world, this God that is made flesh. You know, this is baptism designed with Jesus in mind. Certainly there had been older traditions of ritual cleansing, both in Judaism and other ancient traditions. John, of course, has his type of baptism. And now it is this moment for Jesus' baptism. And it's this declaration that Jesus is God's Son that only happens a few times in the gospel. It is this moment, too, you also hear that language of the heavens being torn apart, which we may remember is also used in Jesus' crucifixion as well, this moment where God is breaking into our world. And then, of course, the mention of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is this presence that comes upon Jesus right as he's about to begin his ministry. And we do, of course, we do lift that up in our own lives and in our own baptisms as well. There is some connection to our own baptisms, but we maybe think of them as links in a chain. There's these older ritual cleansings, there's John's baptism, there's Jesus' baptism, and then it is our own baptisms. You know, baptism is such an interesting thing. It's one of the few sacraments we have in the Lutheran Church, right? You know, the Catholics, they have a few more options for sacraments, but in the Lutheran Church, a lot of us other Protestant churches, we have communion, we have baptism, and those are kind of our big sacramental moments, these moments when we have something physical that is sort of wed to the promises, the spoken word of God. And so we have in this moment of Jesus' baptism a sign of that. You know, it is different, and yet it is something that we draw upon for our own baptisms, that Christ brings with it a presence of God in our lives in a new and powerful way, and we see the Holy Spirit as this active presence in this baptism of Jesus and what we hope for in our own baptisms, the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, we throughout the Gospels, the Holy Spirit is often talked about as an advocate, right? In John's gospel, it is a presence that walks beside us. It is a presence that speaks on our behalf. It's, you know, it's always there for us. It's sort of the buddy that's always is with you through thick and thin. And of course, other times, you know, as we have the book of Acts, of course, this morning, the Holy Spirit is something that also sort of moves us forward. It's the boot that gives us a good kick when we need it, right? It's the push out the door to love and serve others, even when we're being a little reluctant to do so. And then there's other times that the Spirit comes to us. It descends upon us. It surrounds us like the waters of baptism. It comforts us. It holds us close. It helps us to know that God's presence is always with us. So I think, you know, one of the ways that we can connect the uniqueness of Jesus' baptism and our own baptisms is, of course, the presence of the Spirit, and also that we are witnesses to the presence of the Spirit. Because, of course, here in the Lutheran Church especially, right, we are most often baptized. It is our practice to often baptize as infants. And so we don't usually remember our own baptisms. We remember everybody else's baptisms, don't we? We see them as a regular presence. We even have bits of our liturgy like we did this morning. I'm not sure if you guys have done that before, but it's right there in our hymnals. It's this thanksgiving for baptism that you can swap out for the confession and forgiveness to help us remember our baptisms. You can even, and maybe I will enlist some of our younger folks next week, you can have people sprinkle. You can take them and they can help sprinkle the congregation to remember their baptisms. But I thought I'd give you a warning before I did that. So if you want to come with a poncho next week, you know, Steve would definitely, he'd be in the line of fire, so I didn't want him to get his hair wet. So
I better be careful. You're gonna be speaking at the installation. You might have some other choice words for me. But you know, we remember our baptisms through the other baptisms that we witness. I mean, certainly there are some of us that are baptized as older children or as adults, even in the Lutheran Church. But we remember things as infants. We remember brothers and sisters and fellow congregation members. You know, there are those fun stories that we can remember of you know, kids that either slept through their baptism or maybe cried all through their baptism. You know, the pastor having to negotiate all the frilly and fluffy baptismal dresses, and hopefully the kid doesn't, you know, soil the lovely white baptismal dress. There was another time, you know, in all these cold churches that we often keep our sanctuaries, I wanted to heat up the water, so I heated it up in my electric kettle and put it in the ceramic pitcher. And then when I poured it out at the beginning of the service, knowing that it would cool off, it just steamed in the church. Like the Spirit moving over the waters, right, in Genesis. It was just, I don't know if anybody could see it from, you know, farther back in the sanctuary, but certainly the choir thought it was pretty funny as the baptismal font just steamed like some sort of effects show. But, you know, we remember all these pleasant stories of our own baptisms. And I think, you know, I'm a firm believer in that part of the reason why we want to discover and explore the diversity of our church, you know, whether it's just the church just down the road or churches halfway across the world, you know, in other people, we see the true power of God's Spirit, the true extent of God's love. You know, it's in other people that we begin to see, you know, how God can work in so many marvelous ways and through so many people, and not just people, but all the other parts of creation that God keeps in his care. You know, we learn so much about God through all the things that God loves. And that includes people, and that includes plants and animals and all these bits and pieces that God cares for. And so that's one thing we discover in baptisms. As we remember our baptisms, it's not a bad thing that we probably remember other people's baptisms more, because then we can connect their own lives, right? Where we, as people, it's one of our blessings and often maybe more of a curse that we are always judging ourselves against other people, comparing ourselves to other people, whether we think they're better than us, whether we think they're less than us, whether we just think they're just odd in some sort of one way or another. We're always kind of paying attention to other people, and to have that brought into this holy moment, I think, is a good thing. You know, baptism is something that's meant to be shared. You know, one of the stories of my last congregation, you know, whenever you're kind of finishing up something, and for those that maybe remember or have heard me talk about before, you know, not only was I leaving the congregation, but my congregation in Pennsylvania, right basically as I left, had consolidated with another congregation, had combined with another congregation. And so there are a lot of, as you know, when you're finishing things up, you're trying to finish everything up all at the same time, all these things that you've been kind of dragging out for months and months. And one of the things that was kind of unfortunate was there was a young woman in our congregation about my age, thereabouts, and she had recently was in the process of adopting two of her nieces because her cousin had passed away at a very young age, and so she decided to adopt these two young kids, and the father was not a good situation either. So it was a very stressful process, and she really wanted to have the children baptized in the church. But of course, it's not something you should really do in the middle of an adoption process, especially because the father was kind of opposed to the whole idea as well. So it was one of these difficult decisions, and you know, she's like, "Should we just baptize them in secret?" And I'm like, I don't really feel comfortable with that, you know. I don't know who would bust me for a sneaky baptism, you know. But I didn't want to, you know. Steve had worked so hard, I didn't want to put that at risk that I'd get hauled before the baptismal court or something. I don't know. But so what we did for that one of the final services at our church, I found some other language in there to sort of begin. It was prayers for the process of going into baptism, and hopefully down the road, they can complete that baptism. But, you know, these are these moments when we see God at work through all the complicated machinations of our life, and we see God at work through all the complicated people in our life, and we are all joined together by this gift. You know, and this is that gift that Christ started so long ago in his own unique kind of baptism, this ministry that Christ began that is passed down to us, this love that enveloped him to go out and share his ministry and share his message and to bring him to that point of crucifixion, that ultimate gift of love that Christ made for us. And so we are all joined together by this gift of baptism, and all of us weird and wonderful people, and that's one of the great theological moments when we see that we are all joined together in this promise that is found in water, just as it is also found in bread and wine as well. You know, there is something very vital, I think, in the nature of sacraments, that physical, tangible nature of our sacraments. You know, we remember, we have powerful memories to do with water. See, maybe that's why we should have baptisms in Lake Mille Lacs at this time of year. You would definitely remember that. I mean, that would be a very tangible experience for you. So we'll have to think about that. But you know, this is the power of baptism. It draws us all together in these wonderful memories as different witnesses and as people too. You know, we're not just meant to be idle witnesses. It is meant to, as much as it may be a shock to the young kid to be splashed with water, it should be a shock to our systems as well, to support that young child, to support whoever is being baptized, child or adult, no matter who comes to the waters of baptism. It is that moment when we come together as a community, but also reminds us as a community that we are called to lift up those who are baptized, to support them, to love them, to walk beside them as the Spirit would have us do. Amen.